Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times newspaper for the week of Sunday, January 3rd, 2021. I'm reading on Thursday, January 7th. I'll begin with the most recent articles. San Angelo COVID-19 testing, a look at local coronavirus data for January. City of San Angelo, as of January 7th, 13,735 positive cases reported, 134 new positive tests, deaths, 228, 147 from Tom Green County and 81 from other counties, 93 currently hospitalized, 2,108 active cases. Registration for local coronavirus vaccine closed by Elena Edgen, published January 6th. Update. The city announced registration has closed as of 2:13 p.m. January 7th. Registration will reopen once more vaccines are available. The original story read, Tom Green County residents 65 years and older can sign up for a Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, according to a City of San Angelo news release. Signups are available for county residents over the age of 65 years old and do not have a primary care provider, according to the release. People who meet these requirements can register at cosatx.us/vaccine form. Pfluger and Darby talk about events at U.S. Capitol by John Tufts, published January 6th. This wasn't how August Pfluger imagined spending his first moments as a U.S. congressman, bunkering down with staff in a secure location as rioters made their way through the halls of government. It was definitely a frightening experience for everyone that was here at the Capitol, Pfluger said Thursday, January 7th. Only a few days ago, the newly sworn-in congressman from San Angelo said he would join several of his Republican colleagues to contest the election of President-elect Joe Biden. On Wednesday, Pfluger stood united with members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat alike, in calling for an end to the violence. This is completely and utterly un-American. I condemn all violence happening at the Capitol. We are a country of law and order. Laying siege to the Capitol building is in total opposition to our ideals. I could not be more disappointed, Pfluger said in a statement to the Standard Times on Wednesday afternoon. The Constitution protects the right to peaceful assembly. There is no place for violence. I stand in full support of Capitol Police and first responders, he stated. Pfluger said he had already left the House chamber when supporters of President Donald Trump transformed from protesters into insurrectionists and began smashing through the windows of the U.S. Capitol building Wednesday. He remembers watching as he and others were moved to safety. I didn't see any of the acts of violence or some of the things that have appeared on TV. I was making sure my staff was safe and we were in a secure location, Pfluger said. For several hours, he waited as law enforcement contained the chaos in Washington, D.C. Pfluger, who was sworn into office to serve Texas's 11th District, is a 20-year veteran of the U.S. Air Force and decorated fighter pilot, served on Trump's National Security Council staff, and received an endorsement from the president in February. During that time, like many others, we called for the dispersal and peaceful reversal of folks to not continue any acts of violence in the Capitol, Pfluger said. Just before 2:15 p.m., Trump called on protesters to be peaceful in a tweet. I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you, he tweeted. Other members of government expressed similar opinions, including Texas State Representative Drew Darby, Republican, who issued the following statement. Clarissa and I are heartbroken and appalled by the unbelievable images of rioters attacking our United States Capitol and violently engaging against the hardworking people inside its walls. We condemn the insurgency and offer prayers for recovery. Though our politics and opinions may differ, our country's successes will depend on our ability to work together civilly for the greater good of our democracy, to support our leaders in their faithful administration of the laws and to lift up all people in prayer during times of conflict or grief. Never violence, never destruction. May God bless America, Darby stated in a release to the Standard Times. There's absolutely no place in our country for that kind of violence, especially as we were discussing and debating the merits of a topic that was so fundamental to our Constitution, Pfluger said. We can't just pick up and choose what parts of our Constitution to follow. While Pfluger called Wednesday's events a tragic day, he maintains a sense of optimism about his future as a congressman and about the kind of legacy he wants to leave behind when his time in public office is over. Pfluger said he and his colleagues stayed at the U.S. Capitol until 4 a.m. to finish the work they started, and said his most important work is just ahead. Yesterday we had our debate, and now, according to the Constitution, it's time to move forward and restore confidence to the American people in our government, Pfluger said. There is still work to do in our election system, but right now, the most important thing we can do is offer the American people a peaceful transition of power. San Angelo ISD returns to in-person classes for some students, ending virtual Fridays. By John Tufts, published November 12th, updated January 6th. Update. San Angelo ISD is suspending virtual classes on Fridays for some of its high school students and announced a return to in-person classroom instruction. On Wednesday, January 6th, officials with San Angelo Independent School District said high school students enrolled for in-person instruction will need to report to campus beginning Friday. Affidavit states San Angelo woman returns home, discovers neighbor rented it to couple. By Elena Edgen, published January 7th. A San Angelo man has been arrested Wednesday, months after accepting over $2,000 to let a couple rent a home he was house-sitting, according to an arrest affidavit released Thursday. On October 5th, 2020, a woman arrived at her San Angelo home and discovered a man and his fiancé had moved in. The homeowner and the man at her residence called officers and told them what led to the encounter. On September 26th, 2020, the man saw a Facebook post for a rental house in the 500 block of Kennedy Drive for $1,250 a month. The next day, the couple met with the person who created the post at the house, toured the house, and made an agreement to move in, records state. The fiancé gave the man $2,650 in money orders so they could move in October 1st. The homeowner told officers the suspect, who is a neighbor's son, was asked to house-sit for her while she was out of town. She also tasked him to do some repairs, which required access to the house through the garage door, according to the affidavit. During the investigation, the homeowner received a voice message from the suspect. He was emotional and said he deceived the couple. He also apologized and said the couple was not supposed to move in, records state. Joseph Justin Key, 38, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $10,000 bond as of 8:45 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Affidavit states, swaddling led to San Angelo infant's fractured legs, one arrest. By Elena Edgen, published January 7th. A San Angelo man has been arrested a month after the area around an infant's knees were fractured, according to an arrest affidavit released Thursday. On December 15th, 2020, police responded to the hospital for a report of suspicious injuries to a four-month-old infant. The infant had multiple fractures to their upper and lower right and left knee area, according to the affidavit. The infant's grandmother told investigators she believed a man had been swaddling the infant too tightly. She had warned the man, who would get upset when she told him not to swaddle the infant so tight, records state. Investigators met with the man, who told them he became frustrated with the infant moving while he tried to swaddle them. The man pushed the infant's legs near the knees and applied pressure while pulling the infant's legs forward. The infant's knees were locked by his hold during this, records state. The man also suggested the injuries could have been from a different incident. The man told authorities he was playing with the infant November 26th by tossing them in the air. During one toss, he failed to catch the infant and grabbed them by the ankles to stop them from hitting the floor. He heard a loud pop, according to the affidavit. The affidavit does not indicate if anyone sought medical care for the infant after that incident. Joseph Dominic Armendariz, 18, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of reckless bodily injury to a child. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center the next day on a $15,000 bond with the condition of no contact with the infant, according to online jail records. Affidavit states San Angelo man sexually assaulted child numerous times since 2010. By Elena Edgen, published January 7th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a child, 14, reported a decade of sexual abuse, according to an arrest affidavit released Thursday. On Monday, January 4th, the child, 14, told investigators a man had sexually assaulted them from 2010 through 2020. In a 2010 incident, the child reported they were on their bed when the man entered the bedroom and laid beside them. He started touching the child inappropriately. The child started to cry, and he told them to stay quiet before he left, according to the affidavit. He returned and reportedly sexually assaulted the child. The child could not control their bladder afterward and was taken by the man and child's mother to the emergency room, where it was determined the child had a urinary tract infection, records state. The man told hospital staff he didn't want them to look at the child's sexual organ because the child was too young and there was no reason for it to be examined, records state. The sexual assaults reportedly continued on numerous occasions, including November 25, 2020, at the man's residence. On Tuesday, January 5th, officers conducted a controlled call with the child, who called the man. He said he would wake up with the child in inappropriate positions, according to the affidavit. Investigators also discovered a conversation between the man and child on Discord, a communications app. Michael Brandon Curry, 34, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of sexual assault of a child and aggravated sexual assault of a child. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $175,000 bond as of 8:45 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Affidavit states, San Angelo duo leaves for party and game systems, by Elena Edgen, published January 6th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after two gaming systems, purses, and a glass jar were stolen from an apartment, according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday. On Friday, January 1st, police responded to a burglary of a habitation at an apartment in the 1200 block of South Abe Street. Officers noted a door had been kicked in and multiple items were stolen, including a PlayStation 4 and an e-cigarette device, records state. Two people who lived in the apartment told officers they left to a party and returned to their apartment burglarized. One of the apartment's residents went to a neighboring apartment and asked the man who lived there if he saw anything or anyone was involved, records state. The neighbor said no, but one of his friends told the resident there was a PlayStation 4 in the neighbor's apartment. The neighbor also was in possession of a glass jar with pear slices on it, which was missing from the burgled apartment. A woman who lived in the burglarized apartment told officers three Michael Kors purses, a Nintendo Switch, cash, and other items also were missing. The suspect told police he was not involved in the burglary, according to the affidavit. Dominique Jamal Odoms, 24, was arrested Friday on suspicion of burglary of a habitation. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $50,000 bond as of noon Wednesday, according to online jail records. Do you want to be San Angelo's next mayor? Here's how to get a candidate packet, by John Tufts, published January 6th. The positions for mayor and city council single-member District 2, 4, and 6 are up for election in 4 months. San Angelo residents interested in joining city council can file for candidacy beginning January 13th until February 12th. Each position will be filled with elected officials serving 4-year terms. Election day in San Angelo is May 1st. City council members currently serving in seats up for election include San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter, District 2 Councilmember Tom Thompson, District 4 Councilmember Lucy Gonzalez, and District 6 Councilmember Billy DeWitt. Where to get a candidate packet? Candidate packets are available in the City Clerk's Office in Room 204 on the second floor at City Hall, 72 West College Avenue. Officials stated face masks must be worn while inside City Hall. Candidate packets are also available online at costx.us/elections. Completed applications may be returned in person to the City Clerk's Office, by mail to City Hall, or via email to City Clerk Julia Antilli at julia.antilley@costx.us. Candidate packets contain applications, information, and forms about the process for those considering running for mayor or city council. Any questions may be directed to the City Clerk's Office. Interested in running? Make an appointment. City officials stated residents interested in filing for city council must make an appointment in advance to file the necessary paperwork in the City Clerk's Office. Contact the City Clerk's Office at 325-657-4405 or email Deputy City Clerk Heather Stastny at heather.stastny@costx.us to schedule an appointment. Get registered to vote. To be eligible to vote, San Angelo residents must be registered by April 1st. Voter registration applications are available at the Tom Green County Election Voter Registration Office on the first floor of the Ed B. Keys Building, 113 West Beauregard Avenue. Applications can also be obtained online on Tom Green County's website, by mail, or by calling 325-659-6541. Residents can also register to vote when renewing their driver's license in person at a Texas Department of Public Safety office. For voter registration applications or to determine eligibility to vote or current voter registration status, visit votetexas.gov/register-2TO-vote. Affidavit states San Angelo man on probation for stalking break-ins points gun at woman, by Elena Edgen, published January 6th. A San Angelo man broke his probation 3 months into a 7-year sentence after pointing a gun at his estranged wife and attempting to steal her property, according to an arrest affidavit. His arrest came a month after the assault. On December 1st, 2020, police responded to an assault investigation in the 2500 block of Martin Luther King Drive. A woman told officers she heard a knock on her door and opened it, revealing her husband, who was not allowed to be there, records state. Her husband was sentenced to 7 years deferred adjudication for stalking her September 1st, 2020, while she began the process to divorce him, according to court documents. 3 months into his sentence, he entered her residence and pointed a gun at her while threatening to shoot her. He entered her bedroom and took her car keys, phone, and her gun, records state. She found another cell phone in her daughter's room and called police. When he learned police were coming, he threw down the items and left, according to the arrest affidavit. Gabriel Martinez Contreras, 28, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, intend other felony, and a motion to revoke warrant for stalking. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $100,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Affidavit states fight between two San Angelo men ends with a great deal of blood and one arrest, by Elena Edgen, published January 6th. A San Angelo man has been arrested Tuesday after a woman watched a bloody fight near her residence, according to an arrest affidavit released Wednesday. On Tuesday, January 5th, a man drove from his residence in the 1100 block of Farm to Market 2105 to a nearby woman's residence for a confrontation with another man. The two men met near the road, and a confrontation led to a fight, records state. Before the fight, the suspect hid knives in a flower pot. He used the knives on the man to defend himself, which led to a cut on his hand while he stabbed the first man, according to an affidavit. The suspect stabbed the man multiple times in the torso. A woman told officers she saw the fight, which involved a great deal of blood, records state. Joshua David Radcliffe, 29, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 9:45 a.m. Wednesday. Affidavits state San Angelo grandfather wakes up to armed robbers, fights, and chases them off. By Lena Edgen, published January 5th. Two San Angelo men have been arrested after a grandfather woke up to two robbers in his homes, fought them, and followed them as they fled, according to arrest affidavits released Tuesday. Around 2 a.m. Saturday, January 2nd, a man was asleep at his home in the 5300 block of Pacific Street when he heard a noise. He opened his eyes and saw two suspects in his bedroom, one of whom pointed a handgun at him, according to the affidavits. The robbers, dressed in hooded sweatshirts with cloth covering their faces, demanded money and guns, he told police. He attempted to get up from his bed multiple times and was shoved back down, records state. When the man rose from the bed, the armed suspect struck his face, which caused a blood-red injury and a black bruise around his left eye. He struggled with the two suspects until they fled, according to the affidavits. The man chased the suspects toward Cawley Lane and noticed a white pickup leaving the area the suspects fled. He got in his vehicle and followed the pickup until it eluded him in a parking lot in the 5000 block of North Chadburn Street, records state. Investigation reveals connection between man and suspects. Two Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies visited the man's grandchildren, who told officers the granddaughter's boyfriend owned a white pickup. A deputy found the boyfriend, who told deputies he and the woman's ex-boyfriend had discussed the woman's grandfather as a target for a lick. A term to hit a lick is used to speak of an illegal action to earn money or drugs, according to the arrest affidavits. The boyfriend told deputies he loaned his vehicle to the ex-boyfriend and an unknown male for $100, knowing they would use it in an aggravated robbery, records state. Investigators found the ex-boyfriend, who they said resisted arrest and tried to get a black revolver handgun from his pants, records state. A search revealed he had a black bandana and tan Vans shoes, which matched the grandfather's. The ex-boyfriend told investigators he entered the grandfather's residence but had become sketched out and left. When asked about who pointed the gun and struck the grandfather, he replied he did, according to the arrest affidavits. Riley Austin Hill, 18, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of aggravated robbery. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $150,000 bond as of 2:15 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Zachary Lynn Polk, 20, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of aggravated robbery and resisting arrest, search, or transport, records state. Investigators found Polk had a large, fixed-blade knife as well as a handgun they later identified as stolen from a burglary that had occurred in the early morning hours of January 2nd, according to a news release. Polk remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $150,500 bond as of 2:15 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Affidavit states San Angelo man stabs other man, brother asks injured not to call police. By Elena Edgen, published January 5th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a person doing yard work was assaulted and stabbed, according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday. On January 3rd, police responded to the hospital after receiving a report of a stabbing, which they learned happened in the 100 block of South Buchanan Street. The man had a puncture mark in his lower left back near his kidney, according to the affidavit. The injured man told officers he was finishing yard work when another man approached him and assaulted him. During the assault, the injured man fell and was unable to defend himself, records state. A witness in the home saw the suspect assaulting the man, and then a white vehicle arrived. Another man exited the vehicle, said the suspect was his brother, and begged the injured man not to call the police, according to the affidavit. Another witness, who drove the suspect to the hospital for a mental health evaluation after the assault, told officers she and the suspect were at a residence nearby. He randomly jumped the fence and ran toward the area where the assault began, records state. The man told her he believed the injured man had been causing issues at her house, to which she replied there was no proof. She told officers he did not want to listen to reason, according to the affidavit. Jose Maria Sanchez, 33, was arrested Sunday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 1:45 p.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Here's who can get the COVID vaccine in San Angelo and where they can get it, by John Tufts, published January 4th. Clarification. People seeking the vaccine through Shannon are asked to go through their doctor, a hospital spokesperson said Tuesday morning. The vaccine is not available on a walk-in basis at the Shannon Pharmacy. Main story. Doses of the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines continue to be distributed to Texas hospitals, pharmacies, and other clinics, which include those in Tom Green County. As of January 4th, nearly 6,000 doses of the vaccine for coronavirus have been shipped to pharmacies in San Angelo, according to state health officials who say providers must vaccinate certain groups of Texans. All providers that have received COVID-19 vaccine must immediately vaccinate healthcare workers, Texans over the age of 65, and people with medical conditions that put them at a greater risk of severe disease or death from COVID-19. No vaccine should be kept in reserve, said DSHS Commissioner Dr. John Hellerstedt. Who can get the COVID vaccine right now? The Texas Department of State Health Services is taking a phased approach to rolling out COVID vaccinations. At the top of the list include first tier or phase 1A recipients. Those include paid and unpaid workers in hospital settings working directly with patients who are positive or at high risk for COVID-19. Physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists, and other support staff, such as custodial staff. Additional clinical staff providing supporting laboratory, pharmacy, diagnostic, and/or rehabilitation services. Others having direct contact with patients or infectious materials. Long-term care staff working directly with vulnerable residents includes direct care providers at nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and state-supported living centers. EMS providers who engage in 911 emergency services like pre-hospital care and transport. Home health care workers, including hospice care, who directly interface with vulnerable and high-risk patients. Residents of long-term care facilities. State health officials include a second tier as part of Phase 1A, which includes staff in outpatient care settings who interact with symptomatic patients, such as, but not limited to, physicians, nurses, and other support staff, such as custodial staff. Clinical staff providing diagnostic, laboratory, and/or rehabilitation services. Non-911 transport for routine care. Healthcare workers in corrections and detention facilities. Direct care staff in freestanding emergency medical care facilities and urgent care clinics. Community pharmacy staff who may provide direct services to clients, including vaccination or testing for individuals who may have COVID. Public health and emergency response staff directly involved in administration of COVID testing and vaccinations. last responders who provide mortuary or death services to decedents with COVID-19, embalmers and funeral home workers who have direct contact with decedents, medical examiners and other medical certifiers who have direct contact with decedents, school nurses who provide health care to students and teachers. These Texans also can be vaccinated. As part of its phased approach, state health officials are giving the COVID vaccine to Texans who are age 65 and older, as well as those with certain medical conditions. Those in phase 1B include people 65 years of age and older, people 16 years of age and older with at least one chronic medical condition that puts them at increased risk for severe illness from the virus that causes COVID-19, such as, but not limited to, cancer, chronic kidney disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, heart conditions such as heart failure, coronary artery disease, or cardiomyopathies, solid organ transplantation, obesity and severe obesity, body mass index of 30 kilograms M2 or higher, pregnancy, sickle cell disease, type 2 diabetes. Where can I get the COVID vaccine in Tom Green County? On January 4th, state health officials listed the following places in Tom Green County where residents could be vaccinated for the coronavirus. They include Shannon Pharmacy. To schedule a vaccine through Shannon, the hospital requests people reach out to their primary care physician. HEB Pharmacy, 3301 Sherwood Way, phone 325-942-0454. HEB Pharmacy, 5502 Sherwood Way, phone 325-223-0771. The San Angelo State Supported Living Center was shipped 300 doses of the Moderna vaccine to its long-term care facility in Carlsbad, according to state health officials on Tuesday. Vaccine distribution at Shannon and HEB. Shannon is doing an exceptional job at getting the vaccine distributed and administered very effectively, said Dr. Michael Wood at Shannon Hospital. Wood oversees the medical center's COVID unit and said that most of Shannon's current stock of vaccine has already been utilized. We're certainly not sitting on any available product. We're getting it distributed to the high-risk community members as fast as possible, Wood said. On its corporate website January 3rd, HEB announced it requested another allocation of vaccine from the state of Texas after its initial supply had either been administered or scheduled. We are awaiting another allocation of vaccine so we can continue to vaccinate healthcare providers as well as begin offering vaccine to those in phase 1B, a news release stated. Pharmacies at HEB are not accepting walk-ins at this time to get vaccinated for COVID-19, according to the Texas Grocery Store's official website. Dia Campos, HEB's Director of Government Affairs, said Thursday the grocery chain's pharmacy have the capacity to administer around 100,000 doses of vaccine each week. Just a week after receiving its first shipment of 28,000 doses of vaccine, the company had administered or scheduled every single dose. Now it's left waiting for the state to tell it both how much vaccine it will receive in the next shipment and when that shipment will arrive. In the coming days, people will be able to schedule a COVID-19 vaccination through our web-based scheduler, which will be available on the HEB Pharmacy page, and that page is heb.com/pharmacy/common/landing and on heb.com. State health officials recommend checking a provider's website for information about the vaccine's availability and said the ability to get vaccinated will depend on the vaccine supply at hospitals, clinics, and pharmacies. What will getting the vaccine cost? The government will be providing the vaccines for free, but providers will be allowed to charge a fee for administering the vaccine, according to the City of San Angelo, which compiled a list of frequently asked questions regarding vaccinations. Your health insurance information will be obtained from the providers to recoup the fee from public and private insurance plans and from a government fund to cover uninsured individuals. You will not have to pay anything out of your own pocket, officials said. Will the vaccine react poorly with my medications? State health officials recommend those taking medications or prescription medicine to contact their healthcare provider to learn about any potential drug interactions prior to getting vaccinated. Should I get vaccinated if I've already recovered from COVID-19? Health officials recommend people who have recovered from COVID-19 to get vaccinated. Immunity from the COVID-19 vaccine may last longer than the natural immunity you get if you've already had COVID-19, officials stated. People who have COVID-19 should not be vaccinated while being sick. Officials recommend people who have been sick with the virus to speak with their healthcare provider on when they should get vaccinated. How long will it take the vaccine to protect me? State health officials said all but one of the COVID-19 vaccines currently in development need two shots to be effective, and those two doses from the same manufacturer will need to be spaced 21 or 28 days apart. You will get full protection from the vaccine usually 1 to 2 weeks after getting your second dose, officials stated. At this time, medical experts are still researching how long protection from the vaccine will last or whether a booster shot will be necessary later. After the vaccine, will I still need to wear a mask and socially distance? Health officials recommend people who have been vaccinated still wear a mask, wash their hands often, and practice safe social distancing. Experts at the CDC are still learning about the protection that COVID-19 vaccines provide under real-life conditions. The vaccine is not expected to be 100% effective, officials stated. At this time, CDC recommends that everyone continue to use all the tools to protect ourselves and others from getting and spreading the virus. Who's getting the vaccine next and when? The Expert Vaccine Allocation Panel, EVAP, is considering what criteria could be used for later stages of vaccine distribution, which will also depend on the number of vaccines available. State health officials have estimated spring 2021 as to when the vaccine for COVID-19 will be available for the general public, but that may change depending on vaccine production and how quickly other vaccines become available. What do I need to do now? Phase 1A. If you are a healthcare worker, contact your employer. If you are a long-term care resident, contact your caretaker. Phase 1B. State health officials are asking Texans not to show up at a hospital or clinic looking for the COVID-19 vaccine to avoid overwhelming providers. They encourage Texans to check with their provider online or over the phone to schedule a vaccination. San Angelo Kiwanis Club hits 100 years of serving children in the Concho Valley. By Rosanna Frere, published January 5th. San Angelo Kiwanis Club has hit 100 years of serving children in the Concho Valley. Since January 6th, 1921, the San Angelo Kiwanins have been dedicated to serving kids around the world. The group is one of more than 8,000 clubs in more than 80 countries. We do our best to fundraise and bring awareness to organizations that support children in the Concho Valley, said D.J. Wild, board member and chairman of the Centennial Celebration Committee. Although the group is best known for its Little Olympics for 4th to 6th graders, they also work with House of Faith, Boys and Girls Club, Boy and Girl Scouts, Early Childhood Development Center, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Children's Miracle Network, and more. We have had our hand in a great number of service projects in building the city of San Angelo, said Rick Howard, president of the San Angelo Club. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, Kiwanis isn't able to do many activities or fundraising events that give back to children's organizations in town. We have been here to come alongside organizations whose sole purpose is to help kids and to find ways to make their lives better, Howard said. That's what our group has evolved into today. Over the years, the group has planted several pecan trees in Santa Fe Park and along the Concho River. At one point, we planted one pecan tree every year for every member we had, Howard said. All those gorgeous pecan trees were planted by Kiwanians. Howard said the Kiwanis Club has evolved over the past 100 years. The reason we have been able to survive for 100 years is because our focus has been on kids, Howard said. It's pretty amazing that anything holds together for 100 years these days, but every generation has kids that need help. Howard and Wild are both second-generation Kiwanians after their parents who were members. We try to keep it in the family, Wild said. For more information, or if you are interested in joining the Kiwanis Club of San Angelo, contact DJ Wild, DEEJAYWILDE 427 at gmail.com. New Year's Party in Tom Green County Ends in Man's Death by Elena Edgen, published January 1st. A man was fatally shot at a hunting cabin just minutes into the new year, Friday, January 1st. About 12:30 a.m. Friday, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputies responded to a 911 call in the 11,000 block of Farm to Market Road 2335, along with Texas Department of Public Safety's Highway Patrol also responded, a sheriff's office news release stated. Law enforcement found Asa Nixon, 38, dead from an apparent gunshot wound. Investigators learned Nixon and several other people were at a hunting cabin to celebrate the new year, according to the release. The shooting was preceded by a snowball fight. The jovial snowball fight escalated into a verbal altercation, the sheriff's office learned, which led to a physical fight. The group separated and Nixon left to a nearby residence, according to the release. People in the area heard Nixon returning and acting in a threatening manner. The people retreated to the hunting cabin, locked the door with a deadbolt, and called 911, records state. Nixon forced his way into the cabin and started to walk toward a group who had retreated to a bathroom. One of the people fired one round, which killed Nixon, according to the release. Susan Werner, Precinct 1 Justice of the Peace, pronounced Nixon dead at the scene. This is an ongoing investigation, according to the release. Tom Green County swears in new sheriff, former Texas Ranger, by Elena Edgen, published January 2nd. There's a new sheriff in town. Former Texas Ranger John Nick Hanna took his oath of office Friday. About 1 p.m. Friday, January 1st, Hanna stood on the Tom Green County courthouse steps as he was sworn in as the new county sheriff. Over 50 people attended, including department officials and family. Just over a year ago, in December 2019, Hanna joined the sheriff's office as the chief deputy. A few days later, he announced his run to become the next sheriff. He listed his reason for running was to keep the county a safe, desirable place for you to live and raise your family. His run was successful and earned over 60% of the vote in the March elections. Hanna's career spans West Texas and big cases. Hanna started his career in law enforcement with the Big Spring Police Department in 1989. He later moved to Brady, where he stayed with the Texas Department of Public Safety for 24 years, 16 of those as a Texas Ranger. As a Ranger, Hanna was instrumental in handling the complex YFZ Ranch case involving the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints group in El Dorado in 2008. His work received international recognition from the Canadian Royal Mounted Police for his help with FLDS cases in that country. Sergeant Terry Jacklin of the Canadian Royal Mounted Police noted Hanna's assistance helped them bring several FLDS members to trial, resulting in criminal convictions for the transportation of underage girls across international lines for the purpose of sexual abuse. At the time of the initial distress call, he was the closest Ranger. In a 2018 interview, Hanna revealed his experience in the huge case. To this day, I'm still super proud of our state, El Dorado and San Angelo, and of course the Rangers, and our many law enforcement partners for interrupting a culture of sexual abuse in the FLDS community which other states hadn't been able to accomplish. Hanna was also involved in the investigations of Brandon Lawson's mysterious disappearance, the cold case death investigations of Sally McNally and Shane Stewart, and the murder of Naomi Michelle Miller. Free COVID-19 testing site opens in San Angelo. Published January 4th from Staff Reports. The Texas Division of Emergency Management is providing free COVID-19 testing at 110 East Tuig in downtown San Angelo, the city announced Monday, January 4th. The site will operate from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday and is open to anyone who would like to be tested. Symptoms are not required for testing at this site. It was not announced how long the testing site would remain open. Registration is required. Follow any of these steps below to register. Text DOCSTX to 41411. Online, go to secure.denturustocs.com/DOCS/TDEM screening. Call 267-362-5207. If you are tested for COVID-19 at this site, use the information below to find out your results. Call 267-362-5207. The site is opening at a point when positive coronavirus tests and hospitalizations are again on the rise in the Concho Valley. On Sunday, the local health department reported 115 people were being treated at local hospitals for COVID-19. The health department has reported 319 new cases of the virus since January 1st, bringing the total number of active cases to 2,150 Sunday afternoon. Since the pandemic began, Tom Green County has seen 218 deaths attributed to the virus. 142 were residents of the county, according to data released by the city. Local Economy, Something to Hope For in the New Year, by Kenneth L. Stewart, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published January 4th. San Angelo and Tom Green County were blessed with a thriving economy during the past decade. The U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis reports the local gross domestic product, a basic indicator of past economic performance, grew by 37.1% from $4.3 billion in 2010 to $5.9 billion in 2019. Average income per person followed, increasing by 33.2%. from $36,699 to $48,876 in the same period. The COVID-19 attack abruptly knocked the local economy off that growth curve beginning in March last year. The grueling months that followed left many feeling the sentiment well expressed more than a century ago by the English poet Alfred Lord Tennyson. Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering it will be happier. Mindful of our hopes for this new year, I decided to collect some measurements on what we have to overcome as a community. Labor force impacts. Beginning in mid-March, the pandemic wreaked havoc on the local labor force. The first sign was that claims for unemployment jumped. The rise was fast and large. Tom Green County workers filed only 40 unemployment claims during the week ending on March 14th last year. Not long after, the number of claims had rocketed to 902 for the week ending April 4th. In less than a month, the number of new claims from Tom Green County workers peaked at 21.6 times over the mid-March level of unemployment insurance requests. Then, as the community struggled to restart the economy while battling repeated outbreaks of the coronavirus, the number of new weekly claims gradually declined, but never bounced back to the mid-March level during 2020. The disrupted trend established by unemployment insurance claims served as a leading indicator for damaging labor force changes to come. To begin, more unemployment followed the trend. The unemployment rate for Tom Green County stood at 3% at the end of February last year, according to Texas Workforce Commission data, TWC. It increased to 4.3% for March, but then leaped to 10.7% for the next 2 months. Then, following the claims pattern, the unemployment rate wavered between 7.7% and 5.9% through the end of November 2020. To make things worse, the number of people participating in the labor force also dropped. According to TWC data, 54,948 people were participating in the Tom Green County labor force by holding a job, actively looking for one, or engaging in a job training program at the end of February last year. The number fell slightly by 2.3% at the end of March, but then plunged to 47,640 by the end of April. The decline brought the participation level to a bottom that was 13.6% below the February level. Again, mirroring the pattern in unemployment claims, labor force participation slowly improved, but still did not recover fully as of the end of November 2020. The sharp increase of unemployment and attendant decline of labor force participation caused by the pandemic turned the local economy upside down. The economic impacts were punishing for many members of the community, but the burdens have not been equal. To illustrate, the accompanying chart on proportional employment change and average time spent at workplaces combines TWC's quarterly census of employment and wages, QCEW, data with estimates from Opportunity Insights, a project based at Harvard University designed to track the impacts of the pandemic in local economies across the nation. To begin, the green line in the chart depicts mobility data that Google collects from local users who enable their cell phone location history feature. Cell phone location data provides a useful real-time measure of the pace of ongoing economic activity in a community. Based on the data, Opportunity Insights determined a baseline amount of time away from home that Google users spent at workplaces during January 2020. The green line sets the baseline at 0% and then traces the percentage of change during the days and months that followed. The chart shows that Google users increased their time spent at workplaces by a daily average of 2% during February. Then, time at workplaces turned sharply down to an average of 11.5% below the January baseline during March. It plunged further to 33.8% below the baseline during April. From the April bottom, Google user location data showed a gain during June. After June, however, the average basically flatlined. During the first 13 days of December, the mobility data indicated an average of 19.8% less time at workplaces compared to the January baseline. The Google data illustrates the broad impact the pandemic had on a broad cross-section of the community, including business owners, managers, workers, and consumers who frequent places of work. Even after the partial recovery in the summer of 2020, Tom Green County residents showed a general reduction of activity in workplaces. In contrast, the chart's red and blue lines highlight the unequal burdens the pandemic pressed on low-wage workers compared to workers overall. At the end of last January, TWC's QCEW data indicated that 6,236 of 47,807 women and men at work in the local economy were low-wage workers earning less than $520 per week. The red line in the chart sets a 0% baseline to benchmark the number of low-wage workers, and the blue line benchmarks the total number of workers at a 0% baseline. Each line tracks the percentage change from each benchmark over the first 6 months of 2020. By the end of February last year, the number of total workers increased by 0.8% over the benchmark, while the number of low-wage workers increased even more, by 4.4%. By the end of March, each group still numbered above their respective January benchmarks. In April, however, the bottom fell out. the total number of local workers fell to 43,459, or 9.1% below the January level. Meantime, the number of low-wage workers crashed to 4,371, or 29.9% below the January number. Some workers returned to local payrolls after the April bottom. The comeback, aided then by Federal CARES Act stimulus dollars, brought low-wage workers back from 29.9% to 10% below their January level in June. QCEW data is not yet available to confirm what happened after June. However, the gray dashed line in the chart indicates a downturn in Tom Green County's total employment that the Opportunity Insights Project estimates based on private industry payroll data from Paychex, Intuit, and other firms. If total employment dropped again, as the Harvard-based project suggests, then the largest burden surely fell on low-wage workers. A time to get it right. According to data produced by the local health department, the daily count of new COVID-19 infections reached record levels during November and December. Just after Christmas, December 27th, the department reported that the cumulative number of cases since March had reached 12,021. 82 people were hospitalized at the time, 206 residents had died, and 15 patients were in the ICU. Shortly before this health department report, Walt Koenig, president of the Chamber of Commerce, wrote in his blog, "Our local economy continues to navigate the effects of COVID-19. By pulling together and by supporting our local businesses, we will continue to succeed." Like the rest of the nation, Tom Green County is in the midst of the raging pandemic as we begin 2021. Yet, local community leaders and citizens alike imagine a full comeback in the local economy. But what will it take? Clearly, getting the local economy back on track will require success at a task that has eluded the community so far. Getting the coronavirus under control will depend on a successful rollout of vaccinations, and achieving that across the population will likely unfold over the first 6 to 9 months of the new year. The virus will continue to challenge us until then, so masking, washing hands, and avoiding high-risk contacts must continue as the rollout proceeds. Koenig is right to call for supporting local businesses in a recovery effort, but that is only one way the community will need to pull together. A full recovery also requires supporting local wage workers and their families, not merely at minimum wage, but at living wage and benefit levels. Indeed, a full recovery aspires to more than a return to a pre-pandemic gross domestic product growth curve. It is not enough to measure economic success by producing more in a year than we did in the preceding one. The right goal is to build a resilient economy that enables businesses and workers to withstand the next pandemic or the next disaster. We should avoid ringing in the new year by merely hoping to return to the pre-pandemic past. Celebrate it instead as a chance for our community to get it right. Contact Kenneth L. Stewart at kenneth.stewart@angelo.edu. And now here is the column by Allison Watkins. EarthKind program improves your local garden while helping the environment. Special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published December 31st. Now is a season when many are making goals and seeking out ways to improve their lives and their surroundings. And something to keep in mind is the EarthKind program recommended by Texas A&M. Whether you're one to make New Year's resolutions or not, it's always a good idea to make efforts to protect the environment, and making small choices and changes at the home level can make a big difference over time. Not only is EarthKind better for the environment, but it can also increase success with home gardening and landscaping, helping make attractive beds and productive vegetables. The EarthKind plan promotes research-proven techniques. It is a combination of both traditional and organic gardening practices. The main goals are to conserve water and energy, reduce fertilizer and pesticide use, and reduce landscape wastes ending up in landfills. For example, when planning a fertilizer application for the yard, think about whether plants truly need any fertilizer or not, what kind to use, how much to put out, and when to apply it. The easiest way to answer some of these questions is to do a simple soil test through your local Texas A&M AgriLife Extension office. In the Earthkind plan, usually only the lawn and some vegetables should need fertilizer. With good plant selection and proper soil management, flower beds, shrubs, and trees will generally not require fertilizer. When needed, only apply the recommended amount and be careful not to let any end up in the street. Water conservation is also a big part of Earthkind landscaping. Utilize drip irrigation and mulch as much as possible and use sprinkler nozzles that are designed to lose less water to evaporation. As far as pesticides go, a good strategy to use is an integrated pest management system, IPM for short. In a nutshell, it means to use all available control methods instead of only resorting to chemical use, and also prevent pests in the first place. While an Earthkind landscape doesn't completely rule out the use of all pesticides, they should be reduced and limited to the least toxic option. There are several fundamental principles for Earthkind landscaping: good planning and design, soil management, practical turf areas, appropriate plant selection, efficient irrigation, use of mulch, appropriate maintenance, and rainwater harvesting. Each of these tools can help improve home gardening results, as well as improve the environment and protect natural resources. Visit the website earthkind.tamu.edu and take the Earthkind Challenge. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.